the biggest moment last night, of course, was when delegates voted Donald Trump as the Republican nominee. So what was that process like, and what was the reaction among the Kentucky delegation?
It was a kind of a slow process. Obviously, it takes time. You have to roll call all 50 states plus three or four territories. It really went well. There was some thought that there might be some protest of sorts, that when people read their delegate count, that they might make political speeches or criticize Trump or something like that. Or some of them may try to change their vote by reading the wrong vote, but that didn't happen. It didn't matter what vote they read. For example, Kentucky had 46 delegates. If they would have said 46 votes go to Rand Paul, it wouldn't have counted as 46, because under the rules, they have to be, the votes are recorded as dictated by the primary and the caucuses. So there was none of that protest. It went really smooth. And his son was down on the floor, and he read the votes for New York. Obviously, the pandemonium broke out. They played the New York song, and it was, you know, Kentucky's delegation was calm. There was no comments of any kind. We just sat there and waited our turn. I thought Governor Bevin did a good job of announcing. He kind of promoted Kentucky. He talked about all the good things we have here in Kentucky, that we manufacture the country's largest Toyota plant. We've got the Corvette plant and some other things, Ford, make Ford trucks, and all. So he did a good job. Kentucky was proud of that. That he did that, and got a little bit of attention. Got our 5 seconds in the spotlight.
Yesterday, you mentioned that the Republican Party was looking to unify, and one of the ways in doing that was by sort of coalescing around a distaste for Hillary Clinton. So, are you seeing more of a pro-Trump message or an anti-Hillary message at the convention?
Well, I think it's an anti-Hillary message so far. The pro-Trump message was delivered by his son and his daughter, but for the most part, the other speakers have got up there sort of anti-Hillary. I think that's the rallying call, at least for the time being. You can get more people to vote for Trump because they don't want Hillary. Trump hasn't put himself out there yet to identify himself and exactly what he stands for, other than he's anti-Hillary, because he's an anti-Obama. He's done a job of that, but Chris Christie spoke last night, and he did almost a prosecution of Hillary Clinton, all the controversy she's been involved in, and then he would read something she's done. They said, is she guilty or not guilty? And they all would holler guilty, and then they would chant that she should go to prison for those. So far it's been anti-Hillary. There hasn't been a whole lot of pro-Trump, but right now that's the rallying call, and that's the way it's been so far with most of the speakers.
What work needs to be done by Trump's campaign to bring more of the Republican Party on board, those who would like to see a pro-Trump message and not so much of the anti-Hillary message?
Trump is really going to have to do a good job on Thursday night and kind of pulling everything together. He's going to have to identify himself and, again, why they should vote for him, and not necessarily in addition to why people should vote against Hillary. So I think they've started to do that. His son spoke last night, his daughter spoke, and his wife spoke. They talked about the compassion that he has, that he always instills in people to do the best they can and work hard and set your goals high, and that he lets people do their own thing in the family, that they get the family involved. And I think he's going to have a message of who he is and why his qualities is. Are going to be as president. But again, so far that hasn't happened. But I think on Thursday night, he's going to have to set the stage for that. And I think it has to be a good mix of why people shouldn't elect Hillary and why people need to elect him. And that's how they're going to have to campaign as the campaign goes forward. But I think he also has to reach out maybe to some other groups. He's been pretty hard on some immigration groups and things like that. And he has to kind of bring those people in, so that those that are in America legally, those that are good citizens, that those people vote for them. The Kentucky delegation had a meeting this morning. We had a speaker who talked about immigration and said there are as many as 10 to 12 million Muslims who live in the United States. And that's obviously a pretty big political group. And a good percentage of those are under the age of 35 and active in the political process. So they said that Trump needs to do something if he can to try to get, again, those Muslims are here legally, those Muslims who don't like maybe some of the things that are going on. He's got to get groups like that to vote for him, because that's a pretty big political block. So I think he needs to do that. He needs to reach out to some of those groups to make sure he gets their support.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell took the stage last night. What was your take on his speech?
And his speech was about the same. It was anti-Hillary, about the Obama administration, about some of the rules and regulations the Obama administration has put out. He talked about being the Senate Majority Leader as a Republican, that to get things done, they're going to need another conservative Republican in office, and that 4 years of Hillary Clinton would be just an extension of the 8 years of Barack Obama. And he talked about that he thought that Trump would be able to sign some bills, maybe be able to get more legislation through that could help the country, to help maybe restore or get rid of some of the regulations that exist in the environment and coal industry and things like that. So his speech was well received, but again, it was a anti-Hillary speech and not necessarily a pro-Trump speech. He came on board. He wasn't for Trump until it was clear that Trump was going to get the nomination, but he came on board fairly quickly to support Trump and support the nominee, and again, because he wants to do everything he can to keep Clinton out. And he also spoke and talked about that he wants another opportunity to be the Senate Majority Leader, especially if there's a Republican president. So it was kind of a speech to help Trump in the way to be anti-Hillary, but also to try to set the stage to keep his own seat as a Majority Leader in the Senate.
Now, I read that he got something of a rather lukewarm reception when he walked onto the stage.
It was kind of hard to determine. Just before he came on, they had a video message from Trump thanking the delegation or thanking the convention for nominating him, talking about a little bit about the process and all. So Trump got a rousing ovation in his video, and then McConnell came on. So, you know, it was kind of a... it was a hard act to follow coming on. So I don't know if it was real lukewarm, but I didn't really think that last night's session was as fired up as the session the night before. The night before, there were a lot of, what you might say, there were non-politicians mostly who got up and spoke. There were some actors, some people who were involved in the Libyan attack and things like that. So they were, and some police officers and people who were victims of, whose family were victims of some immigrants who had been in trouble and then were left to stay in the country. So Monday night was pretty inspiring from that standpoint. Last night, McConnell and the House Speaker and some others spoke. And again, it was the politicians you hear from all the time, and it was kind of more of the same from their standpoint. So it really wasn't as exciting and inspiring on the floor as what the night before. Other than Trump's son and daughter, when they spoke, they got really good responses. And it's not that McConnell and the others got bad responses. It just wasn't to the extent that I felt from the night before.
Like you mentioned, McConnell had sort of a reluctance to get on board with the Trump movement, and then Rand Paul chose not to attend the conventions. He's actually in Western Kentucky today holding a series of town hall meetings. Is there an ideological difference in some of the leaders in the Kentucky Republican Party? What's your take on this?
I don't know what you call ideological differences, but I think Rand Paul, you know, he didn't get on board. He was running a very different kind of race, and I'm sure he's going to vote for Trump, but he just didn't want to be here. And Rand Paul's the kind of guy that one thing that's always impressed me about Rand Paul, he was the same as a senator as he was as a candidate. The things that he criticized and the things he went after as a candidate, he stuck to his guns when he got to Washington. And a lot of times people will run a campaign in one direction to be against things. Then when they go to Washington, you know, they get on the train and they get on board with the insiders in Washington, and Rand Paul's never done that, and I think he probably feels that if he were to now stand up and be a strong advocate for Trump, that it would be, in a sense, it would be going against what he campaigned for and what he really believes. I think he'll vote for Trump. I think he's like others in the Republican Party. He doesn't want Hillary, and Trump's the only other one on the ballot, so I just thought he probably felt it's better to stay home and stick to his guns and not be here and be part of a political fire. Because the media, there's a lot of media people here, and they might have paid a lot of attention to him to try to get him to make comments. He didn't want to come here and be negative against Trump, but he also doesn't have the same political philosophies as Trump. So he thought it just best to stay home and work on his own campaign for re-election.
What's in the outlook for tonight?
Tonight, I think the vice presidential nominee will speak. I think that's about the main thing that will occur tonight. It's I think a little bit shorter of a session. There's other speakers. Kentucky senator will speak tonight. It's about helping Americans, whether you're foreign born or have a foreign background, but Senator Alvarez is going to speak and talk about his parents were immigrants and how they came over and worked hard and succeeded, that they became legal immigrants, and that he became not only a medical doctor, but he was elected to the first Hispanic background to be elected to the Kentucky Senate. So he'll have about 6 minutes tonight to make a speech, and I think he's pretty excited about that. There'll be others who have similar stories about how their families and parents and grandparents came to the U.S. and that they became successful by becoming legal immigrants and working hard and kind of the American dream type thing, that like a lot of immigrants, they come here to succeed and because of the good things that can happen here. And I think that's what the theme is going to be tonight.
I think that's all my questions, Bill. Are there any other thoughts you'd like to add today?
It's kind of been a pretty good convention. I think Republicans will leave here. I think they'll be unified. I think the fact last night that things went so peacefully, there were no other attempts to try to criticize Trump or to block any of the Trump movement. So I think they all fizzled yesterday, if there were any plans for it. I think maybe in some ways a lot of the dissatisfaction over Trump has probably been maybe overly hyped by some in the media. You know, as I've talked about before, we have CNN on one side that presents a liberal view and Fox on the other side that presents a conservative view. And I think in the competition of the media, sometimes they might blow out of proportion some of the dissatisfaction that exists and things like that. So I think that for the most part, I think the party's been unified, was pulled together, and it may not have been as divided as what people thought, because we never get to vote for the best person for president. We get to vote for the people who are running for president. And obviously, I think there's feelings on both sides, Democrat and Republican, that we could have had a better candidate, but that's not who the people chose. That's not who put themselves on the line to be elected. We have to vote for those who are out there. I think Trump is going to be a different kind of president. I think maybe we need somebody to get in there and shake things up. I mean, we had that happen in Kentucky back in 1979 when John Y. Brown Jr. was elected governor. He wasn't a political establishment. He wasn't a Democratic establishment. He was a businessman that came in and ran for governor, and a lot of people wondered what kind of governor he would be, but he put good people around him, and he was a good governor, and I think that same thing can happen at the federal level, where Trump has a good business background. He's not politically entrenched. He doesn't worry about being politically correct. He tries to do what he thinks is right, and I think he's going to surround himself with really good people. I think the Pence pick for vice president was a good pick. That's pleased most people. I think he's got a lot of ability. The people he's talked about for the Supreme Court have been highly praised, and I think other people you hear who are around him and have a chance to be in top-level positions are well-qualified. So, you know, we've got a lot to see if he's elected president, but again, I think that he's going to shake things up, and I think the people who want change are a lot more stronger and more adamant in wanting change than the people who would support Hillary Clinton, who went more of the same. I don't think there is as sold on the more of the same theory as what the people who want change. So I even think when it comes right down to it, I think Trump has a good chance to get support from all sides. And, you know, he's really not a entrenched Republican. You know, he's a former Democrat. He has some liberal views. So I think he can attract some Democrats to vote for him in November who want change and are tired of the gridlock and things that happened in Washington.
Bill Bartleman, I appreciate your time and your insight, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
Okay, that's great. Glad to do it. Have a good day.